Paul Vallis is standing by. We always appreciate perspective from Paul Vallis. Got a brand new op-ed I'm alerting you to this morning that I think you ought to read as well. So as we kick off this new year, optimism, pessimism, somewhere in the middle for Chicago.
Well, you know, the claim that Illinois is back, if they're defining being back as being back to the pre-Rauner years, that's really nothing to cheer about.
No, that's not a party.
Yeah, exactly. You know, but if you look at every indicator from job growth, really over the last 10 years, to the population growth, of course, Illinois' population is not growing, and the people who remain are increasingly dependent on governmental programs. And then if you look at the numerous surveys that have been done from various taxpayers groups, that basically shows Illinois to be probably the least friendly tax state in the country, and perhaps the worst tax state for businesses. And,
well, you brought up a couple of statistics that were really stunning, because until you do the math, you don't realize what a hit you're taking. What is the Wallet Hub number?
Well, the Wallet Hub number on what? On
the Wallet Hub study last year. I'm looking.
Oh, the Wallet Hub. I apologize for that. The Wallet Hub number was an analysis. They looked at 8 indicators to define which are the least and the most equitable state. And they found Illinois to be lagging. In fact,
yeah,
Illinois,
I mean, a typical Illinois resident is at almost 10% in taxes.
Mm. That's right. But by all indicators, if you look at housing, if you look at education, if you look at if you look at all the measures that social services often use to evaluate whether or not a state is providing an equitable distribution of resources, by all indicators, they ranked Illinois a dead last, the 50th among the state. So despite the fact that that a so-called progressive agenda seems to be advanced, and it's been kind of like the commitment of the individuals in leadership in the state for now a number of years, Illinois is certainly failing when it comes to the issue of equity.
Yeah, and only California and New York are harder on businesses than Illinois, though Illinois is trying hard to keep up and ruin more businesses as well. And it's got to stop. It's got to stop. It's nothing to joke about. It's got to stop. Of course, the school system is a sweet spot for you and something you're very passionate about. I'd love to have you back to spend extra time talking about the charter school argument, because you lay it out brilliantly and how people are being punished for trying to make the right education decision. So we will do that down the road. But for the sake of today's discussion, all this comes down to one thing. This is not just about punishing businesses. This is not just about making sure that those who make minimum wage get more money. The middle class is getting crushed here, right?
Yeah, they are getting crushed. And Illinois, definitely when it comes to middle class and retirees, I think Illinois ranked third last in terms of probably the most unfriendly state when it came to when it came to taxes and just really the cost of living. So clearly Illinois is struggling. We're not back. We have a long way to go. You know, our pension debt is almost insurmountable. And of course, the abysmal results from the schools. I mean, they're celebrating record graduation rates or historic increase in graduation rates at the state level. Yet, you know, barely a fourth of the kids are computing at national norms, and only a third of the kids are meeting state reading standards. And of course, in Chicago, the test score results are significantly worse.
You can't have it. You just can't.
You can't. Hi, Paul Vallis. Let's talk about violent crime rates, because this is something that's always on my radar because I worry about it. But I've heard reports, crime rates are down. But then does that mean that news reporting is up? Because it certainly feels that crime is not going down. It feels like it's higher.
Well, let me point out that we're still going to lead the nation in murders. I think we're first in the number of murders. And among the big cities, we're second in murders per capita. So, yes, the murder rate is down, I believe, about 13 or 14%. But overall, violent crime is up again. I believe the number posted in Waterpoints, they do kind of a monthly survey of all the crime statistics, is up something like 17%. And let me point out that crime is also being significantly underreported, because Waterpoints, of course, last year did a study that said, because of the shortage of police officers, I believe it was last year, only half of the high priority 911 calls that came in had a car available when those calls came in. So in other words, in half the calls, they did not have a car available. The cars often will respond hours later, and then sometimes the crimes are simply not being reported.
Well, and that's, you know, this is not the cops' fault. The cops are out, they're running around chasing other things. You can't, but if you can't get a cop to come to your 911 call, that matters most to you. And what are you supposed to do then? It's just, it's a complete dereliction of duty by the city to be in this position. And yes, every big city has crime problems, and Chicago is not the worst, but we're sure not the best, and we need to get it together. Before we run out of time, Brandon Johnson's all over my TV and all over your TV. On national show. He's not coming in here. He's not talking to me. He's not answering questions here, but he's more than willing to go on CNN and go on other places and do more of his Brandon Johnson word salad about the immigration situation. So rank it. You're a fair guy. Wow. How's he doing?
A disaster. Look, the attitude of his leadership in the city council and of Brandon himself is to see the migrant problem as a, and they, I'm quoting them, as a product of racist American foreign policy, which means this is just a minority that has been victimized by us that we need to provide sanctuary city status for. Let me also point out that they're looking at the problem as a funding problem and not a numbers problem. Meanwhile, Texas has sent 20,000 migrants to Chicago alone. Of course, they're financing the transport of migrants. So until you address the issue, until you really give notice to states like Texas that we're simply not going to allow people to bring buses up here. Incidentally, a number of the suburbs are passing ordinances that are really designed to not allow the buses to arrive. And in some cases, the buses need to be sent back. Well, until you're prepared to do that, until you're prepared to address it as a numbers issue, you're not going to get a handle of on the problem. And just to give you kind of a sense of what the state's talking about, they will have spent by next year over $1 billion. And of course, the city, it says that by next year, they will have spent $360 million. Meanwhile, the budget, eliminates 833 police positions. They only open two mental health centers, so much for the treatment but trauma approach of the mayor. And, of course, you know, they're pushing a referendum to impose what is really a real estate transaction tax increase, a dramatic increase on commercial, which will 90% of which will impact the hard-pressed commercial property owners in order to fund their affordable housing. And the affordable housing money is really going to the migrants. So that affordable housing money that they're spending is not going to the people in Chicago who need it.
It's Paul Vallis. Read the new op-ed where?
In the Chicago Tribune.
Out today.
And people can follow me on Illinois Policy. If you just Google Illinois Policy and you look at the policy papers, they lay it out by subject. So it's
easy to find.
It's free.
It's cross-reference, and I expect all the listeners to write me a paper and get it to me by the end of the day.
You got it.
Paul Vallis, thank you. Happy New Year.
Thank you, Paul Vallis.
My pleasure. Happy New Year to you, too.
There you go. That's Paul Vallis, 747.